Good evening, everybody. Y'all ready for round two? I hope it is as good as the first one. You know, he hit on some stuff this morning that, you know, that I've been kind of talking to the Lord about, and it's our children, you know. And that's becoming more and more of a prayer for me. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's a prayer for me, you know, about giving my children to the Lord, you know. Because they don't always act the way I want them to, and they don't think they have to act the way I want them to. But, you know, it comes to a point in the time, and it's hard to do, but you got to say, Lord, help me with them. You deal with them, you know. I can only do so much. And sometimes it does take the Lord to deal with them. And that's, you know, that's probably almost a daily prayer for me. For my children, not just the ones that come to this church, but the one that ain't coming to this church, that should be coming to this church. I pray for her every day that the Lord deal with her and her husband, you know, about them not living the way I think they ought to be living. I just wish they would live for Jesus a lot better than what they act like they do, because they think they're okay, but they're not. You know, and I don't want to drive that into them and drive them away, you know. So I try to best just pick and prod where the Lord allows me to, so I don't shove them away. Because that's the last thing I want to do, you know. You know, there's such a good thing coming to church, raising your hands for Jesus, even though when you don't feel like, you know. And that's been a struggle for me for the last couple of weeks, because I've had dental work done. You know, I've had 3 teeth pulled in the last 2 weeks. And this last one I had done is still bothering me almost 7 days later, you know. It hurts. It wakes me up in the middle of the night. I can't sleep, you know, and it's just, I'm praying the Lord help me with it, you know. And it's easing, but it's still a tough journey, you know. But you got to look to somebody who can help you. And there's only one person. It's not me. It's not the congregation, it's church. It's not Thomas, it's Jesus. And this church will point you to him if you listen and come to it. So, you know, but getting off that rabbit trail, you know, it's all about our children, you know. And this has been heavy on my heart. You know, the government wants your kids. And I'm here to tell them, you can't have mine. And I'm telling you, devil, you can't have my kids either. As much as you fight for them. You know, we've got to start pleading the blood of Jesus over our kids. And it don't matter how old they are. They're your babies. God gave them to you to raise up until they go home to Him. So it's time that we step up and start pleading the blood of Jesus over our kids more often than what we do. We should be doing it all day long. Not just when you get up and do your, you know, your daily devotional or around the supper table or whatever. It should be on your mind constantly, because these kids that are growing up now and being born are way off. They're in a worse world than we were in when we started. You know, we come in, you know, when I was going to school, we still had Bible in school. All right? That was a plus, but it went out when I went out. You know, when I was still in school, they took it out. And I can see the change in this world from when that went out to what it is now. And our kids have to live in that and grow up in this. So we should now, more than ever, be pleading the blood of Jesus over our kids. And I'm telling you, they want them, but they can't have them. The government can't have my kids. The world can't have my kids. The devil is definitely not going to get my kids. Even though he wants them, he can't have them. I plead the blood of Jesus over them all the time. I do, you know. And I just want my kids to know that I do pray for them, even though they think I don't love them at times, you know. But there is times I do love my kids. And I do love them so much that I pray for them. And I pray for the Lord that they draw closer to them. And we need to start praying that more for our kids. Not just my kids, for Adam's kids. For Lucas and Candace's kids, Malachi, you know, we need to pray for all of them. So as we begin this search, just remember, let's pray for our kids, because they need it more than ever in this world that we're growing up in. Dear Lord in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to anoint Brother Thomas as he gives the word tonight, Lord. Anoint the singing, Lord. I ask you to touch them greatly, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to move on each and every single one of us, Lord. If we're here and we're not just feeling it, Lord, if we could just raise our hands, even though we don't want to, Lord, you will come down, Lord, and touch us greatly, Lord. And Lord, just fill this place with your presence, Lord. And Lord, as we begin this service tonight, I just come into it greatly, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to touch each and every single one of the kids here, Lord. As I plead the blood of Jesus over them, Lord, the devil cannot have them. You've told me this, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to just touch each and every single kid here, Lord. And even the ones that are not able to make it, Lord. I ask you to touch them right where they are, Lord. And I ask you to just be with them and walk with them and guide their steps as they make their daily journeys, Lord. Well, Lord, we just thank you for everything. Amen.
Deserts and the valley lie behind me. The road ahead. saints on every hand. They'll be shouting victory, and their song of sweetest praise drew back from heaven's shore. Lord, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And oh Lord, to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And
Excuse me, my voice is gone. Allergy season is here. Cold, hot. And I saw something funny. It's funny to me because it's crazy how they can plan. You know, they say Mother Nature. You can't control Mother Nature. But apparently you can control a solar eclipse. I was, I don't know what I was looking at, but I was on Facebook and the weather. I guess it was the weather. Somebody posted. And they're like, we're rescheduling the solar eclipse. I was like, what? How do you reschedule? You know, y'all say Mother Nature, it's God's creation. It's His heaven and earth. But, you know, they say, well, Mother Nature cannot be touched. I'm like, well, you're contradicting yourself because you're saying you're going to change this? And everybody's commenting, ha ha, y'all are just a joke. So I commented. It was nothing out of the way, but I did say, it's crazy how the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour that Jesus, because people are trying to say that Jesus is coming when the solar eclipse happens. And I was like, okay. Pretty sure the Bible says no man knows the day or the time or the hour. And I said, I guess y'all will reschedule the rapture when y'all think it's best to around your work schedule. So I guess people think they can. I was like, so if Jesus, if you're saying this, Jesus is supposed to come with this, so you're rescheduling Jesus coming. That makes no sense. I was like, oh my goodness, this world is not my home. We're just passing. Keep going. Blinders, Lord, help these people. But that's why we're supposed to be a light to people. And when they start this craziness, I'm like, I got to go. I'm walking away because do not start with me. Because, I mean, when it comes to presidential, you might as well just walk away and keep your 2 cents to yourself. Because you're going to make a Democrat mad or somebody's going to chew you out. So just walk away and say, Trump train, just keep going. But that's how people are, man. It's crazy. The people that just are so obsessed with stuff like this, and they eat, sleep, breathe it, and they are farther from Jesus than a goose in a hailstorm. I mean, they are just scattered, and they'll pick out any little thing to get so technical. It's like, why are you digging? If the Bible says it, you believe it, that settles it, it's over. Believe what the word says or don't. And that's why so many people, like he said this morning with like Bible translations, it is saying a complete opposite of what Jesus said. Y'all are trying to make it sound good. Love, love, love. And like you said, we are supposed to love, but there's a certain extent that you go to with that. And people make it all about love. This, well, don't call anything out. Well, I'm sorry. I'm blunt and straight to the point. If Jesus said it, I'm going to tell you how it is. And that's how you have to be. There's a way to go about it. That's why we should just pray and say, God, help me to handle things better. Help me my tone, my actions. Don't let me come across as hating somebody because they're doing this. Let me show a righteous judgment and not, I'm judging you, you're going straight to the devil's hell, because that's not how we need to be. Because who wants to come to a church when you're condemning people straight to hell? There's a way to go about it and there's a way to not. And that's why myself, I've said, let me meet someone. I want to meet someone. I want more people to come to me because I want to, not that I'm anything great, but I want to be the person that I needed at one time. That women like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I'm praying for you. Or a new person that you don't even know and God lays on your heart to talk to. And we should pray for more of that because that means more souls go to heaven. We don't want people to go to hell no matter what they've done or how they've been. We don't want that. So that's why in everyday lives, I've been recently, I'm like, I have a Bible at home and it's fresh, like it's not even been touched. I'm like, I want to find someone to give this to. So I'm like, Lord, send somebody. So hopefully this week I run into somebody. So just, I mean, simple prayers like that. It's not like I'm going to say this, and just let the Lord lead you. Because you never know what someone's going through. That's why we should handle ourselves the best way like Jesus would. And we don't always handle ourselves the best. But if you just pray and ask God to help you, I'm telling you, He'll make the way smooth and easier. Say, Lord, I don't understand, but it's in your hands. And give it to Him. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we take up the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. And we thank you for your blood, God, that you shed on Calvary, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the price you paid, God, the debt, Lord. We owed, but you paid it, God. So we thank you for all your mercies and your grace, Lord. We thank you for your healing power, God. We thank you, Lord, that my Uncle Tommy came through his surgery well, Lord. We ask that you would go to him right where he is, God, that you would strengthen his body, Lord. That is a miracle in itself, God. So we ask right now that my family would see you, Jesus, through everything that's gone on lately, Lord, that they would see Jesus in us, God, that we could be an example, Lord, that you would touch their bodies, Lord, heal their hearts, their minds, Lord, whatever's going on, that was with anyone's families, God. We pray for our families, God, those who aren't our families, God, that you would go to them, Lord, that they would come to you, Lord, that you would touch them in a great and mighty way, that you would do big things, Lord. We know that you're in charge and you're larger than in charge, and we know that you're going to do great and mighty things, Lord. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord, so we thank you, God, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Treasure of heaven, crucified, worthy. Be very similar to what we're going to be doing in heaven. Bowed around the throne, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Amen. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. Heaven is going to be a glorious place. You're going to see Jesus high and lifted up. Better get a glimpse of him now. Amen. Because we're going to see him in all of his glory when we're bowed down before that throne. Bible said they are casting those crowns at his feet, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Praise the Lord. That ought to make you want to have a Holy Ghost fit. Praise God, to get into the presence of God. That's an anointed song. I don't know who wrote it, but they sure wrote one from the heart. Praise the Lord. You know, we were at camp meeting, and we had some really, real good services, and they were bragging on the singers and the musicians and everything, said they had the best ones in the world. I said, well, not when we get back home. You do here, but we got them in Tennessee. Amen. The Lord's anointed what we have here. It might be small, but hey, God's got his hand on it. Amen. We're thankful for what the Lord has given us here, but we did have a good time. We got touched. This thing's ringing up here really bad, or I'm still in my hole. There it is. That's a little better. Tonight, we're going to go to John chapter 16. As I mentioned this morning, the subject that I feel like the Lord has already given me to minister tonight, and I don't know if I'll get through it tonight. It might take a week or two, but we'll just see how that goes. John chapter 16, the camp meeting, after we got touched and refreshed, I come back, and Lord, I just felt like the Lord, started loading me up, giving me stuff. And I love it when that happens, because when he starts pouring, putting stuff into your spirit, it's just, there's nothing better than when he does it. Amen. And he starts filling your soul up with something. John chapter 16, verse 32 and 33 is only two verses I'm going to read. It says this, "Behold, the hour comes, yes, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask you for your help tonight. I ask you for your anointing, for your power, for your strength, physically, spiritually, for myself, for everybody in this place tonight. Lord, we know as the seasons change, the weather changes, sickness comes, things happen, and we all are affected by it, but we know you're still in control, Lord. And we're not going to complain no matter what the weather does. Lord, we're your children. We're saved by the blood, and heaven will soon be our home one day. And help us, Lord, not to complain. Help us not to fuss. Help us not to bicker and backbite, God, about the things that we go through here, Lord. There's a reason for the things that we deal with, and we know that you're in control of everything going on in our life. Lord, I pray that tonight you would protect your people, God, protect your church. I pray that you would move all over this world, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, open the doors for us, that you won't open to go to preach the gospel in the areas that you want it preached, Lord. Help the people to continue to support the finances, to give, to do everything you've called us to do here, Lord. I thank you for every person here tonight that is a blessing to this church, Lord, and for those that are watching through the internet. I pray that this message tonight will touch people. I pray that it'll be a blessing to people, for those that may be watching that don't understand what's going on in their life, that this will explain some things to them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I was at the doctor, I was sitting in the car waiting on my wife the other day at the doctor, and my great nephew sent me a message where he tried to call me, and I couldn't get a real good connection. He was calling me through the internet on a messenger phone. I don't know how he does it. But anyway, I answered, and he said, I want to ask you something. He's kind of breaking up a little bit, but I finally got to where I could hear him. He said, I want to ask you a question. He said, I was trying to call my pastor to talk to somebody about this, and I can't really get through to anybody. But, so I felt like I should call you. He said, I know that. As a Christian, he's just been saved maybe a couple years, and Lord got a hold of this boy, and he said, I know that we're, as Christians, we're covered by the blood, we're protected by God, and God loves us. He said, but why, sometimes, he said, it seems like I just, the more I try and the more I press in to get closer to the Lord, it just seems like Things just get harder. Things break loose around me. Like the devil tries to use things in the world to get to me. And I said, that's normal. You're on the right path. That's normal. And I said a few things. And then in the course of the conversation, the phone call got dropped and I lost him. So I was sitting there in the car and verses started coming to me. So I started copying them and pasting them off my Bible app. And I mean, they just started like coming to me left and right. And I was sending them this and sending them. I said, look at this, read this, read this. Look what the Lord, this is why you're dealing with what you're dealing with. He's like, wow. You know, he's like, you tell the Lord was showing him stuff. And he said, why don't preachers, why don't people talk about this more? Why don't Christians hear about this? He said, there's people out here like me that don't know why these things are going on, why these things are happening. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I said, I just happened to preach on this because I believe this and I understand that God has a purpose for why he lets the devil sometimes attack us. He turns him loose sometimes. And look, we're under the blood. We are protected. The devil can't do anything except God let him. So if it seems that Satan is having leeway, then we got to ask, okay, Lord, what is going on? Why are you letting Satan do this? Got your answer tonight. Some of them don't know it all, but I know some of them according to the Word of God. And that simple answer really is just that the Lord, so that the Lord, is, you know, he has to weaken us. You know, it's something I was thinking about this earlier, that when we're all, it seems like if we're all like getting hit at the same time, we're being attacked and we're being hit and we're being weakened, we're all kind of mushy and lovey-lovey with everybody, ain't we, one another. But when we're on the mountaintop and everything seems to be going good on my side and you might be down in the ditch, I don't seem so caring, I don't seem so loving. You know, I thought about is that possibly why in the book of Acts, the church of the book of Acts in the early stages, why they were selling all their goods, giving all their stuff away and praying for the sick, preaching the gospel, because they were under so much persecution. The Bible said they had all things in common. And they were giving people what they needed, helping other people. But that happened because that was a result, I believe, of the persecution that they were going through. It was intense. And today, we're not exempt from persecution. We're not exempt from tribulation. Matter of fact, the word, I want to give you the definition of that word tribulation that I read there in that verse when Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might have, he said you shall have. And he's talking to his children, his disciples. And he was saying, you shall have tribulation. The word tribulation simply means this: to crush. Anybody ever been crushed as a Christian? Well, I haven't. Well, hold on. Have you ever been brought to the place to where you just crush down and it looks like there's no way out of it? Did you know that God allowed that to happen? And God has a purpose for that happening. It means to crush or to squeeze, to break, to be in trouble, and not just trouble, serious trouble at times, under attacks of Satan, as he said about our children, the young people. The only hope for these kids is the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God. That's it. It's our only hope. And the pressure that comes from evils, this is what tribulation is, pressure that comes from evil spirits, evil attacks, affliction, and distress. So you know what Jesus was saying? He was saying, in this world, you're going to be put in situations that are going to crush you. You're going to be put in situations, I'm going to allow you to be squeezed at times to where you think there's nothing left to squeeze out of you. I'm going to put you in a position to where I'm going to allow the devil to break you, but I'm going to make you. I'm going to allow such trouble at times and pressure from evils and affliction and distress. He said, you will encounter it. We in the church world today, we like to just, as I mentioned this morning, this watered down, softened gospel garbage we got. Everybody just come to Jesus, get rich, get what you want, get what your little heart desires, and I'm a champion, you're a champion, you're great, I'm great, and God wants to make everybody rich. That stuff ain't gonna fly. You're going to have to know what is going on when the devil is about to crush you. You're going to have to understand what's taking place when you've been put in a position where you have no way out of it. You're going to have to learn that God wants to do something in you while you're down on your back. So my nephew asked that, he said that. And I'm a firm believer in what he asked in that question about this, because my wife and I have been preaching this since we've been saved. Well, since we started learning ourselves that there's a reason why we go through things, even preachers. Although many preachers won't even talk about things like this. They won't talk about personal afflictions, trials, tribulations, things that Satan has launched against them that can be turned into a testimony to help those Christians out there to know that you're not the only one that goes through it. We all go through things at times. We all have tribulation. We all, as Brian was talking about his kids, you know, praying for his kids. I can feel that struggle. I know it. I can feel that, because you got a real devil and a real world and a real political system and a real school system and a real evil community that's pulling, reaching, wanting your children. But God has a plan for the things that we go through. I go back to begin this to the book of Job. The Bible said Job was a perfect and an upright man. He eschewed evil. He loved God with all of his heart. He seeked to love and live for the Lord more, it seems, more than anybody during his day and time. He was an upright man. But the Bible tells us that even though he was an upright man who loved God, he was not exempt from being tested. He was not exempt from being tried by God or tested by the devil. You see, whenever the Bible talks about tests and trials, remember this, the devil always tempts you, tests you to try to lure you away when God wants to test you for the purpose of building you. The Lord wants to do something in you. The devil wants to take you away. God wants to build you. And too many times, too many Christians run off screaming and crying when they're going through something, instead of asking God what's going on and what's this about and what does he want to do in them. And so they run here, they run there, they run to this, run to that one, and they never get through the things that they're going through because they don't understand what God is trying to do. But Job was a perfect and an upright man, and we know that the devil came to God and had a conversation about Job. I just wonder tonight if we could say that about us. Has the devil ever approached God and threw your name out? Well, if you're saved and you're born again and you're in love with the Lord and you really want to live for him, I have to say he's mentioned your name a time or two. And the devil comes and says, hey, well, the Lord told the devil first, you know, the Bible said Satan was going to and fro in the earth. Remember what 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. I got that in my verses tonight. Because your adversary, the devil, he's like a roaring lion. He roams, he walks to and fro through the earth, seeking what whom he may devour. And that's what the Bible says he was doing when he approached the Lord about Job. He was going to and fro looking for somebody, and the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, well, yeah, you know, I have, but there's a problem. I can't get to him. Good news. I like that. Yes, I've considered him. I've had my eye on him. But the problem is, there's a hedge around about him. I can't find no way in. That's the way it ought to be with us. The devil ought not have any way in. And you ought not be opening a door for him. Because you're covered by the blood today. We're protected by the power of God. The devil can't just come in and do what he wants to do with us. He can't. He don't have the authority unless God lets him. And I remember as a young Christian, me and my wife having to learn this the hard way. Because, man, I didn't know what in the world was going on after about that first year and a half or 2 years of living for the Lord when God started opening some things up to me and showing us things and learning the message of the cross. And it seemed like, I mean, everything did get better. Boy, my soul got lit up, and I did feel like I was born again all over again. But I'll tell you something else that came with it. A whole lot of problems came with it. A whole lot of trouble, a whole lot of testing. But I'm glad I had a man in my life named Jimmy Swagger that says the devil can't do nothing except God let him. Except God called. Nothing can happen to you as a believer unless God calls it or allow it. And that always hit me and stuck with me, and it's been in my heart ever since. I understand that because that's biblical. Satan cannot do anything to me unless God allows him. Nothing. And that's a fact. You either. He said you've built a hedge around about him and everything he has. And basically he said, well, he only serves you because of what you give him. He said, okay, well, I'll just prove to you then. We'll just check and see if that's the truth. I'm going to let the hedge down around about him and Satan. I'm going to let you have your way with him, but there's only so far you're going to be able to go with him. You can touch his stuff, but you can't take his life. Come on, somebody. You can touch his stuff, but you ain't taking his soul. And the Bible said God let down the hedge. Job was afflicted, hit with problems, trials, tribulations, lost his family, lost his home, nearly lost his wife. I don't know if he did later on, if how that all went. It said he got everything restored back. I guess she did too. Not her, maybe a better one. Maybe one of faith, at least. He lost his family, his camels, his sheep, everything he had. And not only that, his body is riddled with sores and sickness and disease so bad that men would stand and just gaze at him for days, looking at his condition for 7 days. They just sat and looked at him. How'd you like that? Somebody just sat and looked, they just sit and look at you while you're going through your tribulation and trials. And then the first words out of their mouth are, well, you must have done this or you must have done that or you ain't living right, you're a hypocrite. And all the attacks and all the false accusations that they brought to him, which in the end God said, you know what, they spoke falsely of me, but my servant Job hasn't. And he lost everything. We can't even begin to comprehend the trial that this man went through. We can't even think about it. You can't even get there. I mean, we talk about Paul and things he went through, but think about Job. This testing, this didn't come and go in 2 days. This thing lasted for months maybe. It could have been a year. We don't know how long it lasted. And the devil was trying to use it to try to pull Job away. He said, if you let me take his stuff, he'll let go of you. But what did he find out? Job said, naked I came into this world and naked I'll leave. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we see that story. Job through everything. I don't think Job spoke exactly every single word positively as he should have. I have to believe there was some discouragement. I have to believe there was a little bit of doubt. I have to believe that there was some what in the world? Why? What did I do, God? Nothing. But I'm going to show the devil that I'm in the changing business. I'm going to show the devil that I've got people who love me not for what I give them, but because of who I am to them. And so he went through a very serious trial. And that's a perfect story to begin this message with to prove that God allows his children to be attacked by Satan at times. He lets the hedge down. And we know that Job stayed consecrated to God. He didn't deny him. He didn't do what his wife said to do. He didn't curse God. He didn't turn his back on him. He praised God in his ash heap. He worshiped the Lord. The Bible said he rent his mantle. What words like that? He worshiped the Lord. He sat in an ash heap and he worshiped God. What do we do when things come our way? When we get attacked, when we get sick, you know, sometimes that sickness, that these health issues, here it is. Look at Job. God knows what it takes to turn us. God knows what it takes to get our attention. Now, you can snicker and laugh and think, well, that's good for everybody else, but you just hold on. Because when it happens to you, it won't be funny. Because it ain't. Last thing you ever want to find yourself doing is making fun of somebody in a trial. Last thing you ever want to find yourself doing is dogging somebody that the devil is trying to destroy. The last thing you ever want to do is make fun of somebody that is under attack of Satan. The last thing you want to do. Because what you sow, you reap. And that's why we all got to be real careful. When somebody's going through something, if you know something about it, pray for them and stay out of it. Come on. Pray for them and stay out of it and ask God to help them. If God wants to use you to be a blessing to them, let him use you. But know this, you ain't going to be able to fix everybody's problem. Some of the stuff that God is trying to do in people, you and I can't do it. And so it takes a little bit of heat in a fire. It takes a little bit of being thrown into a burning fiery furnace. So the fourth man can walk. We don't need the president to walk in. We don't need the counselors to walk in. We need Jesus to walk into the midst of the fire. I love everybody here. I love these other ministers. But I don't need them to walk into my fire. I need Jesus to walk into my fire. I need the fourth man. We all need him. And for that to happen, we got to go through things at times because we're being changed. We're being purified. We're being sanctified. And God has to put some heat in the flame. I'll never forget. I say it again, you know, about 2 years after we were saved. When the light started getting turned on, just beginning to be exposed to the message of the cross. And boy, what a blessing. But oh, what trouble comes with it. God opens the heavens and starts pouring out spiritual blessings. And at the same time, he allows Satan to attack you in areas. Because it's one thing to receive the revelation, but now you got to know how to put it into action. Walk it out. Live it out. Yield to the Lord. Let God have his way in your life. This is a lifelong process. I'm going to shock some of you. You're going to be sick here and there until you leave this earth. You're going to deal with some physical ailments from now till you leave this earth. You're going to deal with the devil from now till you leave this earth at some times. You're going to deal with problems on your job. You're going to deal with problems from your boss. You're going to deal with problems in your family. It ain't all leaving. It's going to be there from time to time. Listen, to keep us in check, teach us that God still wants to work in us. God still wants to change us. And just when you get to the place where you think, I don't need changing anymore. Everything's good over here in my house. Oh, Lord, help us. God allows it, but see, Jesus said, in this world, we're in this world, but we're not of it. In this world, you shall have tribulation. It's a fact. Now, we all got to face that. I come to that conclusion years ago. You know, I just got to face this. This is the way it's going to be from time to time. Now, I don't live every single day tormented by the devil, beat up by the devil, scared of the devil, worried about the devil. Why is this happening? Why? I don't live every day like that. But I'm still at the same time, I'm not ignorant that God uses him at times and he lets things happen in our life to keep us in check and to help be an agent used to help us in our sanctification process. Because we don't get there as quick as we should. So we need help. Romans 5 verse 3 says this. If you got it, I'll give you some verses to put on the screen back there. I want you to read you what the Apostle Paul said, if you can get these up. Romans 5 and 3 says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Do you glory in tribulations? Do you praise God in the midst of your tribulations? Do you? No, I don't mean we, oh, thank you, Lord, that the devil, you turn the devil loose on me. No. Thank you, Lord, that my boss is wanting to fire me. Thank you, Lord, I'm about to, thank you, Lord. No. In spite of the tribulation, we glory. Look, God can get some glory in our lives in the midst of the tribulation. We glory in tribulation also knowing, look, that tribulation works, our favorite word, patience. What's that? You know what that is. That's your character. That's that area of our heart and life that God's working on changing, you know, conforming more into the image of his son. So we got to have a little bit of tribulation to help bring us to some patience. We're supposed to be patient with others too, right? How patient are we? How patient are we in traffic? How patient are we on the job? How patient are we in the world? I'm talking to all of us now. How patient are we? See, you think that God don't use everyday life and situations and the guy going 20 that ought to be doing 50 in front of you to check you? Come on. To show you, listen, not to show the guy in front of you what you are, because you don't really want him to see it. To show you what God wants to show you about yourself. That you still need some changing. I still need some changing. And for that to happen, God has to sometimes let tribulation affect me and my family, or maybe the church, or maybe the job, or whatever, in order to do some things in us. Since I've been down here at this building turning wrenches, I never knew I'd experience so much trouble. And things, situations that put me in a place where I could say nothing but, Lord, help me. And he's done it all the way. He's helped me every step. I could tell you thing. I could tell you about situation after situation where God has stepped in down here in this business helping me to do things that will blow your mind. He had to use a thief breaking in and stealing two motorcycles to work some more patience in Thomas Clymer. Now that just happened because somebody wanted your stuff. That's the way you see it. But that ain't how God sees it. You see, because I lost. I didn't make any money. I lost two motorcycles, nearly lost $4,000. And you know what I had to do? I said, okay, Lord, I ain't worried about it. I said, you'll give it back to me. Some way or another, you'll restore to me what the devil tried to take. And as soon as I went into that building, not a few months later, the devil attacked. God let him. You know what Thomas Clymer wanted to do at first? He wanted to attack. He did the same thing most of y'all want to do. Where's Brother Smith and where's Brother Wesson? Where's Brother Nightstick? Where's Brother, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. And I had to get a hold of myself and say, okay, hold on a minute. That ain't what you want, Lord. You didn't allow that from this to happen. That ain't why this happened. Okay, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. You think God couldn't have stopped the thief? You think God couldn't have stopped that? You think the Lord couldn't have? I'm sound asleep in the bed when it's going on. You think the Lord couldn't have woke me up? Oh, it's a good thing I didn't wake up. Thank God. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I didn't. But God lets it happen. And I see how God uses these things to change me more. To change you more. You got to understand that these, if nothing can happen except God causes or allows it, God was in that. And so God tested Thomas Clymer. Did I pass? I hope I passed the test. You can pass the test if you go God's way. I wasn't happy at first. I wasn't, but I had to get over it real quick when I realized there's nothing I could do. And I knew the police were not going to be able to do anything. I already knew in my spirit they weren't going to catch anybody. Hadn't even heard back from them since. Ain't even thought about it. Don't need to even talk to them because I know God has a plan. Everything that you set your hand to do, if God is in it, it's going to be tried. It's going to be tested. And I saw that immediately when I began this. And I've seen the Lord do things in the midst of this business that he has used to work things in my own heart. I've seen things happen in my family, with my daughter, with our family. Come on, y'all. I've seen things, we've experienced things that God has had to use to change guess who? God lets things happen. Of course, the devil is the one behind all evil, but he can only do so much. This says, tribulation works patience. The next part of that verse, can you put it on? Come on, computer. Did it freeze? Not only so, Romans 5:3. Okay, go to the next one. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. That's what I wanted to get to. That's the part I wanted. The patience brings experience, and the experience brings what? Hope. So you see, God is doing something in us. He's working patience. Patience, we got the experience, and then when we got the experience, what do we got? We got hope. We know that God is in control. We know that God is doing something. We know that He's in the business of bringing a change in us. He's got a purpose for why we're going through what we're going through. The word, listen to the word perseverance or patience. It means perseverance, bearing up under something, enduring things, enduring circumstances. As I said, you can't run away every time something bad happens. You can't run from it. You got to learn how to bear up under it. We got to endure. You don't quit church because something bad happens. You don't quit the job because somebody says something nasty to you. You don't run away. You endure up under it. And you say, Lord, help me. Come on, y'all. I need endurance. James 1:12 tells us this. Put it up next. This is the next one. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. He don't run from it. He endures. Blessed. You know what? We're blessed when we go God's way. We got victory. We got peace. We got a way through the problems. We've got a way of escape in the midst of the temptation, in the midst of the test. We got the power of God. We got God's word. We got prayer. We got the word of God. We got a way. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, who's trying us? God is. The Lord is the one doing the trying. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Look, in the end, eternal life. At the end, when this is all over with, and all the things you went through and I've went through here, in the end, we're going to receive the end of our salvation. We're going to see King Jesus face to face. And we're going to be rewarded for everything we did here on this earth, for his kingdom, for his benefit. We'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to who? Them who love him. And them who love him experience tribulation at times. Those who love him go through hard times at times. Please don't come to me at the end of the service and say, can you tell me why I'm going through this thing I'm dealing with? Please don't. Here it is. I mean, right here it is. God is doing something in us. God is working us. We are being changed. If you're the kind that don't, I heard somebody mention a while back, I don't know how true it is, he said it's true that the older that people get, the more set in their ways they get and they don't want to change. I said, now Lord, that ain't the way you want us Christians to be. Because it don't matter how old you are as a child of God, there's room for change. There's room for improvement. But I believe it's a fact, yeah, the more older people get set in their ways and set in this direction, I'm doing it this way and I'm not changing, yeah, there are people like that. But as a Christian, you can't be like that. You got to be open to God changing. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church, how long you've been saved, how long you preach, it don't matter how long you've been doing anything, God still wants to change us. And he uses these testings and trials as agents to help get us there. Blessed is the man that endured temptation. Go to the next one, 1 Peter 5 and 8. I quoted some of it. Y'all know it. These were some of our memory verses when we got saved. Verses I never knew would come back to us later on that would play a prominent part in our understanding of the message of the cross and learning them in the right context. You know, if you don't learn the Word of God in the right context, you can't take a verse and pick and just, you know, get what you want out of it and throw the rest of it away. It's got to be context. What is it saying? 1 Peter 5, 8, 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking who he's looking. Seeking whom he may devour. Next part of it. Whom resists, see, we have the ability to resist by being steadfast in the faith. That's the only way we can overcome attacks. By being steadfast in the faith. The faith is faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. Listen, knowing that the same, you got to know this, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, you have brothers and sisters in the Lord around the world that you have never laid eyes on. You've never shaken their hand. You don't know them. They live on the back part of Africa somewhere or Asia or on the other side of the world. Look, that have gone through things 10 times worse than most of us will ever go through. They suffer afflictions. They go through things and we don't even understand the things that some of these people deal with. But we understand this, that look, the devil wants to try to destroy all of God's creation, but he can't. The same afflictions all across the world, people that love the Lord are afflicted. They go through things. So what's God's plan for them? The same as for us. To reveal himself to them in a greater way. To change them. To open their eyes more to who he is, what he can do. The song says, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve it. I'd never know what faith in God could do through it all. Why do we sing that? Do we believe it? Yeah, we sing. We believe it because we sing it because we believe it because we know it. We go through things at times. But we've learned to trust in Jesus, praise God. We've learned to trust in God. He takes us through it. So we endure things. We go through things. But we have a power that helps us to stand. Now remember, the devil was trying to lead us off away from the Lord. He wants to lead us into sin. But the Lord is testing us for the purpose of growing us and multiplying us, increasing us. Why does God allow Satan to attack his children at times? Here's one. To strengthen, I've mentioned it already, to strengthen our faith, teach us greater dependence, and trust in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll ask you this question before we read it. Are you being made strong? Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. This is what my great nephew was we were talking about the other day. He's talking about wanting a greater revelation of the Lord. He said, I'm trying to press closer to God. And I don't, why are these things happening? Here it is. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Everybody's thorn ain't the same. But God will see to it that you get one. What don't bother you might just tear somebody else to pieces. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Who gave it to him? Now you got to ask that question. Sounds to me like Paul's saying that God gave it to him. Sounds to me like Paul says God allowed it to happen. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. You know what that means? To tear you up. To beat on you. To bang on you. Why? Because God is giving you revelation. He's opening things up to you. He's changing you. He's building you. He's growing you. And at the same time, just to keep you where you need to be so you don't get the big head. So you don't want to say, "Woo! I got the message of the cross. I got it. I got it. Oh, no more problems." I got it better than you got it. I know more than you know. And he said there was a messenger of Satan given to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Look, there's the reason. Paul, God's using you, stay low. Preacher, God, when God starts using you, stay low. When God starts revealing to you truths and giving you things, look, stay low. Save yourself a lot of trouble. Save yourself some attacks. Now, there's going to be some, but we could save ourselves a lot of trouble if we would stay humble. In the next verse, he said this. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart. Lord, leave. Let God take this away, please. Anybody ever been there? Lord, please get this gone. I don't want this. Lord, I can't deal with this. This ain't the time. This ain't the year. This is the wrong month. Lord, I don't know, Lord. Lord, I don't need this right now. And God says, yes, you do. He says, right now is a perfect time for me to let you have it. Lord, I don't know how much more I can take of my boss. I don't know how much more I can take of my family, my children, the job, the this and this. Lord, I'm about to pull my hair out. I can't take it. And God says, yes, you can. If you'll endure it my way, his way, and surrender to him, you won't be screaming. You won't run off screaming every time. Take it away, take it away, take it away. You'll learn how to endure. And understand that God's using it for your benefit. Not for your destruction. It's for your benefit. The next part says this. And he said unto me, the Lord spoke to Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Here's what you need. His grace. My grace, what are you going through right now? What's tormenting you? What's bothering you? What's plaguing you? What is it? Here's what you need. You need a greater revelation of grace. You need a greater understanding of who Jesus Christ really is. You need a greater understanding of everything he's done for you at Calvary, because that's where his grace comes from. My grace is sufficient. I didn't know any of this stuff in the first few years. I didn't know anything about this stuff. But oh boy, did we start learning. I was like some of you, I wanted to run away. Well, if you just move to another state. My wife, I would say, go to Florida. I don't want to go to Florida. I'd rather go to the mountains if I'm going to run away. I'd rather go to the Pigeon Forge, the hills. Running away ain't the answer. Moving ain't the answer. Changing jobs ain't always the answer either. God changing you, that's the answer. So that we can learn how to deal with things. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, you can handle that job I gave you. Yeah, you can handle them people. You go my way. You walk with me. You talk with me. You trust me. You yield to me. And you let my power move in you. And I'll do some things in you on the job that'll blow your coworkers' minds. And you won't have to run away. Preacher, you don't have to run from one church to another. Stand right there and receive God's grace. Learn how to receive God. Look, closing down and running off, that ain't the answer. People do that all the time. Receiving God's grace is the answer, because his grace will enable you to stand in the midst of opposition. It'll help you to stand in the midst of sickness, in the midst of disease, in the midst of heart trouble, head trouble, back trouble. His strength can be made strong through his power. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. There it is. God says, my strength. That's what I want. I want my strength working in you. I want to, in your weakness, in your worst trial, Job, I want my strength worked into you. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Boy, Paul got a real revelation real quick, didn't he? Because look how everything just changed. One minute he's screaming, take it away, and now he says, that ain't what God wants. I'm going to learn how to get through this. I'm going to be a man of God. I'm going to man up, and I'm going to receive God's grace, and I'm going to operate by the power of the Holy Ghost, and therefore I'm going to glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ can rest upon me in the midst of my sickness, in the midst of my family problems, in the midst of my divorce issue, in the midst of my church issue, in the midst of my issue on the job. I'm going to receive God's grace, and I'm going to let his power rest on me. Y'all are real quiet in here tonight. Y'all are accepting this, ain't you? I mean, I know you've heard this before, but I'm kind of wondering, are you okay? Do you really understand this? Because you might get tested on it tomorrow. I think there's a lot of people out there, they know this is true too, and they don't want to go too far with it because they know they'll be tested. Monday's coming. If it don't happen Monday, it could come Tuesday. I mean, hey, Lord can just throw you a curveball out of nowhere. Something you never expected can come, and it can be used as a test. Something God wants to use to strengthen us. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Don't you want the power? Amen. Does anybody want the power? Amen. You know what this power is for? To help you to live right and to get through your problems. He didn't leave us hopeless. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The next verse is this one. 2 Corinthians. Is it 2 Corinthians? No, the last part of that. Let me read it. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Man, listen to this. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Look, these are different things that Paul went through. Infirmities. It's believed that he had some serious beatings in his body. Well, we know that. He was beaten one time, left for dead, drug out of the city. They left him for dead. But some wise men and women gathered around him and got to praying, and the Holy Ghost got to moving, raised him up off of his deathbed and sent him right back to preaching. But you think he didn't still have some wounds in his body? Some pains in his body? Some aches in his body? I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. Who likes to be reproached? I don't. Who likes to be lied on? I don't. Who likes to be falsely accused? I don't. In necessities, when I don't even have the things that I really need, I take pleasure in it. In persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Why? He says, I'm going through all of this for his sake. It's all about him that I'm suffering. It's because I'm a child of God. And the devil hates me, and the world don't like me, so I should expect to be attacked. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, we want to jump past the weak part and say, "Woo, strong!" But you can't go to a gym and walk through the gym and look at all the weights and just walk around and look at all of them and think about how you'd like to lift them and walk out the door every day and not lift a weight and think you're going to come out strong. You're going to have to lift some weights sometimes. You're going to have to endure some things. You're going to have to go through some things sometimes. 1 Corinthians 10:13 was one of our favorite memory verses. Oh, how did we learn it? There is no temptation that is taking you, but such as is common unto man. But God will not allow you to be tempted more than what you're able to handle. He said, but with the temptation, he'll make a way of escape, a way that you may be able to bear it. See, we have to learn these things. We don't learn them till we get put into the trial. When I'm weak, then am I strong. Give me the last verse, and I'll be just about finished here tonight. Here's another reason that God lets these things happen, because he wants us to learn how to denounce self-dependence. Get rid of self-dependence and start learning how to depend completely on Jesus Christ. Look, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. This is a man of God. Can you believe a preacher of the gospel is talking about his problems? Would not have you to be ignorant concerning our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. Has anybody ever been there? That, don't change that verse yet, that we despaired even of life. Have you ever been put in a place as a Christian to where you thought you were going to die? Has your life ever been threatened so bad as a Christian and attacked by Satan that you literally felt you were about to leave here? You know who allowed that to happen? Well, I see you all still here tonight. So there must be a purpose. I never forget when the Lord turned the lights on from these verses to me. And it happened through a personal experience some years ago in Africa. Some of y'all know the story. I'm going to read the next few verses of this in a minute. We flew to Kenya to stay the night to get ready to go to the other area we were going to. We got there sometime real, real late in the night, and we all got ready to go to bed. They were in the room next door to me. I was in my own room, and I think I was. And I was laying down, and I started having some dizzy spells or whatnot, having some issues. And I felt my legs started cramping up down below, and I didn't feel right. And I kind of, just prayed, was asking the Lord to touch me, to help me, and try to lay down and go to bed. I laid down, and I felt like I was just about asleep, and all of a sudden, My right leg cramped up so bad, it squeezed so bad, I raised straight up out of that bed, and my heart started skipping a beat, and I thought, Lord, have mercy, what in the world? And I never experienced anything like this, and so I tried to shake it off, you know, let it go, and I started praying, God, help me, Lord, touch me. And I could feel, I'm telling you, I could feel demon spirits. I could feel the devil himself trying to come against me. And I remember I either called her, I texted Melissa, I was telling her what was happening. She said, get up and set up on the bed and try to stretch your legs a little bit. You know, try to walk a little bit or something if you can. So I didn't quite do it then. I laid back down and sure enough, it happened again. And so they come in there and I was sitting on the edge of the bed and I went to stand up and that thing grabbed my leg again and it squeezed so hard on my leg. And I'm telling you, the breath went out of me. And all of a sudden, I just passed out and hit the floor. My feet fell right out from under me. They sat right there and watched me fall out. Passed out cold. Hit the floor. And they didn't know what to think. And they picked me up. Woke back up. I come back to. And they're sitting there. I said, look, pray. I said, pray for me right now. Pray. And they got to praying for me, brother. And I'm going to tell you that, look, when you're in a foreign country and there ain't no fast pace and there ain't no Athens hospital, there ain't no place to just, if you walk into some of their hospitals, you might not leave unless you got all the money to pay them. You might not leave alive. And there's no convenient place to go. And the devil shows up and says, you're going to die in Africa. I'm going to kill you right here. And you got all these thoughts hitting your mind. Your wife, your daughter's panicking, they're in tears, and here comes this fear. And the devil says, I'm going to kill all of you. I'm going to stop you. And God had already moved mightily the week before. And we were getting ready to leave to go to another city for another week. And they prayed. The Lord moved. I laid back down later on, finally went to bed, slept all night. Got up the next morning, I was weak. We had to go back to the airport to pick up some bags to get ready to leave to go to the next town. And I was weak. I was dragging them bags, but I praise God, I was dragging them weak. And I said, Lord, I'm weak. God, I got another week to preach. You got to help me. I ain't no going home. You know what I could have said? I could have said, that's it. Let's cancel. Come on. Postpone. Stop it. Get our tickets transferred. Let's go home. Forget about this. I said, Lord, you didn't bring me here to let me die. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord, at some point in time, God brought me to this very scripture right here that I'm reading to you. And I was reading it, and I was reading Brother Swagger's note. I never seen this before, but now that I'm experiencing it, he said in his note, Paul thought he was going to die. And I said, oh my Lord, that's exactly where I'm at, Lord. But you read the rest of it, go to the next part of it. And I was reading just these verses. God began to speak to me. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. The power of God that can raise you up off of your deathbed. The power of God that when the devil says, I'm going to kill you, God says, I'm going to raise you up. Come on, somebody. And we went on to the next part of Africa. I preached. My head was spinning. I had dizziness. I had sickness for another whole week. But by the time it was over with, the devil got black eyes. People got saved. People were touched. And I come back and I was still weak when I got back. But praise God, the Holy Ghost kept moving in Thomas Clymer. And I'm here today and I can say I'm made stronger. I didn't have anybody to depend on. Except him. You know what I had? I had the sentence of death in myself that we should not trust in ourselves. There it is. And God will help you to get there. If you're going to be used in ministry, if you're going to be used in God's kingdom, I'll tell you something. It ain't going to be easy. There'll be a fight. There'll be a battle. But it's worth it in the end. It's well worth it to go through the things that we go through, because it's for our benefit and it's for the benefit of others. Last verse, verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death. He's still in the delivering business. And does deliver. The Lord gave me that word. He said he delivered me and said he's going to keep delivering. And whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. So I know this. Everything, by the time I leave out of here, past, present, and future, he's got it all under control. I said he's got it all under control. And the reason he's using some of this stuff, listen, is to change us. Do you want to be used of God? You want to see people saved? You want to see people affected in your family? You want to see people come to the Lord that you know need him desperately? Are you willing to let God have his way in your life so that it can be used to affect them? God has a purpose for the things that we go through. Look, I'm not even near through all of the things that God wants to do talking about this. We can go on and on and on, but you get the gist of what the Lord is saying. He uses things to help change us, to help build us, to make us into what he wants to make us into. Stand to your feet. I'm going to close tonight in prayer. I hope that you have gotten something tonight. Those of you watching, I hope you understand why you're dealing with some of the things that you're dealing with. God has a purpose for it, and he wants to use it to be a blessing to you and to those around you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that for every person in this place who may be experiencing negative situations, that you would work it out for their good, that you would turn it around, that you would strengthen them, that you would build them, that you would change them. Lord, we know that you are in control. Help us not to complain. Help us not to murmur. Help us not to backbite. Help us not to point our fingers at one another. But help us to trust you that you would deliver us from the bondage of self, that we might be changed by the power of God, that Jesus Christ might be glorified in our heart and in our life. I pray for people tonight through the internet that may be troubled, may be confused. I pray that this clears up confusion, that they would understand there is a purpose for why they're going through the things they're going through. You're with them. You're going to change them, and you're going to deliver them. And Lord, we thank you tonight for your delivering power. Go with us tonight as we leave here. Protect us. I pray for everybody sick, that you touch their bodies, Lord. You touch the sinuses, you touch their head, the back, the body, the legs, whatever area of their body, sickness and disease. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood over every soul in this place tonight. Those watching that need healing in their bodies, heal them, Lord, and change them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless all of you. Wednesday night, be back for church unless the trumpet sounds. If not, we'll see you then. Well,
we hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.